So I wanted to share tonight with you a little bit about where we are as a church, some things that God's been speaking to me lately, and in particular even about our building search, which is still very much going on. And I was in one of those places, I don't know, about a month or so ago. Let me just say this about the building search. Blazing Fire is 10 years old. Almost 10 years old. And we've never yet had our own place. Most of you know that, but if you're new here, you don't know that. So we've been going place to place in the Tri-Valley, all four cities, over in San Ramon. Been in like about 8 different spots over those 10 years. And it's been good. It's been really good. God's been really good to us, opening up one church after another through relationships that I have with a lot of the pastors around the valley. But there's always been this thing inside of us, this longing of God, we've got to get our own place, because there's things you've called us to do. There's a call on this family, Blazing Fire family, to be a place of God's presence, a place where people can come anytime to come and encounter the living God. And we've got amazing things going. Todd and Corinne are just doing an awesome job Monday nights in a different church with the youth. We've got amazing school going on. People every year, you know, dozens of people being radically transformed over those 9 months in a different location. All kinds of good things going on. So I'm not saying, we didn't just say, oh, well, guess we can't do anything if we don't have our own place. Believe me, we've been super creative about how we've used all kinds of places all at the same time. But there's been that thing inside of me and inside of our leaders, like, oh, there is a place. God's told us that. I've got it so many times. I've got a place for you. I've got a place for you. Now, how many of you know that a lot of the Christian life has to do with waiting? See a lot of hands out there. And the rest of you, you just didn't get to it yet. You're still waiting to put your hand up. And what do you do with all these words that you get along the way? Because some of them are so clear. And you know, I don't know about any of you, but sometimes the clearer the words I get, or the more impressive it comes, meaning like just an amazing dream or vision or something, like the more amazing the word, the quicker I think it's supposed to happen. Surely this must be for now or yesterday or something. And we wait. And we, but that word, by the way, that word wait, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. That word wait doesn't mean to twiddle your thumbs and do nothing. That's not what it means in Hebrew. I said the word wait doesn't mean to twiddle your thumbs and do nothing. The word wait actually means to be entwined or braided with the Lord. Now that puts a different spin on things, doesn't it? That, you know what? That's all about being still and knowing that he's God. He's like, okay, while you're still waiting for that thing you've been waiting for, how about you check in with my heart one more time and know how good my heart is for you? And how about you enjoy me? Because really, it's all about the process. It's all about enjoying me every day of your life, one day at a time. So he says, let's go down that road together of enjoyment. So that's where he's taking us. So we've been waiting, and along the way, got some really clear words about a place called Vintage Hills, which many of you know about, over in Pleasanton, and got a lot of words about that one. And so we started going down that path. Here's the other thing about when you're trying to find God's plan for your life, you do a lot of, if you're smart, you'll do a lot of stepping out and seeing, you know, step out and check in with God. But it's really important that you keep taking some steps. It really is. Because if you're afraid of making any mistakes, fear paralyzes you. And some of you, if you had parents that really punished you a lot for anything you did wrong, you might have to overcome this fear of stepping out to try things. But I want to encourage you, in life, when you're saying, do I go down this path or this one, check in with the Lord, see what he has to say. But if you're thinking, well, I'm still not really sure, it's totally okay to take a step in a direction and then listen. Are we still good, Lord? I give you permission. Stop me anytime if we're not going down the right path. I give you permission. But then you can't get mad at him if he starts closing the doors. Because he will sometimes. He'll say, oop, nope, that's not it. So getting back to Vintage Hills, there was clearly a closed door. We were going through that door and saying, we're gonna try to park it there in that place in Pleasanton. And some doors slammed shut. It wasn't just a little, you know. Now, then you start asking the question, did I miss God? I mean, I do. I don't know if you ever ask those questions. Lord, did I miss that? It seemed really clear. Do you know that I think a lot of those answers, I will just speak for myself, I may or may not ever have this side of heaven. Did I miss God? Well, I don't know. Is that chapter over? Is there a possibility that someday we will be using that place? I think it's entirely possible. Is it possible that someday someone else in the kingdom will be using that place because we prayed for it? Yeah, entirely possible. Is it possible that he wanted us to go down that path? Let me throw this out at you. You know how timing with the Lord is everything. Like, he knows perfect timing for things, even though we want everything right now. And I'm going to tell you about a place that we're looking at in just a little bit, and tell you how the price has dropped dramatically just recently. See, so if we were looking at something that we were supposed to have, but the timing wasn't right, he may send you down another path for a while because he says, I need you to do something for a while because I need you to, if I sent you over here, it'd be too soon. I don't know. I'm just giving you, you know, several different scenarios of what might happen, because I think sometimes we start to second guess ourselves and go, well, I just don't hear God. And then you start thinking, well, I just don't want to do that hearing God thing. I'm tired of that hearing God thing because I feel like I'm wrong sometimes. Well, I'm going to ask the very, you know, famous question now, how's that working for you? You know, if you just say, I'm going to la, 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 I'm just not going to listen anymore to God. You, doesn't work very well in human relationships, right? That would not be a good plan for someone that you care about and you actually want to be close to. And it doesn't work with God either. And he'll bring you along if we need to learn things. So anyway, about a month ago, that was all just a huge parenthesis to tell you a little bit about the journey about finding our own place. Are you still tracking with me? I hope. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I was, about a month ago, I was reading this, and I love David. I love that song earlier. Todd, your song set was just off the hook tonight. Holy Spirit gave you some really good ideas of what to sing tonight. That was just amazing. Several times I went, I love that song, it's my favorite. Except then there came the next song. Oh, that's my favorite. Anyway, that one song, I remember your faithfulness to Noah. I remember your faithfulness to Moses. I remember your faithfulness to David. I remember your faithfulness to me. That song could sum up what happened to me a month ago when I was reading 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's where, so David is wanting this place. David is all about the presence, is he not? He is the presence guy, the presence of God guy. God, I have to have your presence. And when he has God's presence, he's dancing around, you know, in his underwear and doesn't care who sees. Because he's happy. He's like, oh, it's just about the presence of God. You know, wherever the ark is, let's get the ark back in our camp at any cost. So then he comes up with a great idea. I just want to build you a huge edifice, a huge building for you to dwell in. And God, through the prophet Nathan, says, David, you know what? I'll let you in on a secret. I've never really dwelt in buildings. That's not my thing. I tented around with you guys, you know. But tell you what, because you are after my presence, I'm not going to have you do this. I'm going to have your son do this. But he tells us this amazing thing. He starts talking to him, and this is where the Lord was talking to me, starting in verse 8 or so. He says, the Lord says this, David, and insert your name here, because I inserted my name here through many tears, weeping. I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be a leader of my people Israel. David, I took you there. I did that. I have been with you wherever you went, David. I have gotten rid of all of your enemies for you, David. I'm going to make your fame as great as the fame of the greatest on the earth. I will do that for you, David. I am going to provide a place for my people. And right there, I mean, it goes on, but right there, God just started melting my heart. Do you know why David was a man after God's own heart? I mean, the man messed up royally. He was a king, right? He messed up royally. Okay. He really messed up. Many times. Really bad stuff. You know the stories. Adultery stuff. Murder stuff. Stuff that you'd think somebody who knows God and is all about the presence wouldn't be doing those things. But he did. He made some really, really big mistakes. And still God says, you're my man, you're my man, you're my man. Huge part of it is because God's covenant. He can't help himself. But I will tell you why God was so taken, so smitten with David. Because David wanted God's presence. David valued the presence of God above everything else. And God says, that is irresistible to me. It's irresistible to me that you want me more than anything else. I can't help myself. I got to keep blessing you. Yeah, you messed up. We're going to move on from here. But I got to keep blessing you. And I'm going to make your fame great because you want me. See, we have a father who wants to be wanted. Who doesn't, right? We're made in his image. Who doesn't want to be wanted? He goes, I don't want you to want me because I'll punish you if you don't. That's not love. When you just say you want me because you want me, wow, that just does something to me. So I'm reading this, and the Lord's telling me, son, you've always been about my presence. It's all you've ever wanted. He says, your place, I got it for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm the one that took you. Then he started showing me my history. Wish I had time to tell you some more of the history, but each place, you know, I did this, Brent. I took you here, Brent. Remember that? That was me. Yeah. Okay, I'll share one story. Just one quick story about how I got to this region. Some of you have heard this. Probably a lot of you have not. So I was finishing up seminary. Suzanne and I were married by that point. I was about a month or two to go, about 2 months left of seminary. I had applied to a couple different churches. I was one of the last two candidates. This was a more traditional church I was in at the time. And one of the last couple candidates, and in both cases, they chose the other person, not me. And so I was starting to feel, oh, God, started that kind of that whining prayer thing. You know, God, you know I'm married, right? You know I need a job. I need to take care of her. What am I going to do? So I was in one of those points in my life when I went to sleep one night, and Jesus appeared to me in a dream, very vivid. And he was right in front of me, and he said, Brent, do you love me? I said, Jesus, you know that I do. And he said, don't worry, I have a place for you. And he reached out and touched me. And as soon as he touched me, I lit up with this white electric light, heavenly light, from head to toe. And then I instantly woke up from my dream, and there I was in my bed, still all lit up, 100% awake, with this white electric light. And all I could do was just weep, was cry and cry. And then the rest of the story is, the Reader's Digest version is just that 2 months later, I was here in Pleasanton starting my first job as a pastor 20 years ago. And the church, the organization that I was a part of, you'd have to know that that's a miracle. In other words, they didn't even know my name before then. they take like a year to find somebody, and I was there in 2 months. So that's the short version. It's a lot better than that. But clearly Jesus just went, there you go. And I could tell you many stories like that, many, many stories. Thought I was leaving 7 years later, and he, you know, a supernatural encounter in a movie theater. I won't tell the whole story, but just, he just, his spirit came, descended upon me. I had about a 10-minute heart-to-heart, literally, where the Lord was just speaking right into me and said, you're going to stay in this valley, and here's what you're going to do. And now, that is not typical for me, just so you know. Like, when I get up every day and I'm wondering what I'm going to do with my day, he doesn't come in and go, you know, here's, I'm just want to let you know. Some of you, maybe that's the way it is. But there were certain points where really dynamic things happened, and God said, "My, I'm all over your life. I got you where you're supposed to go. You want me. You want me. So it's my joy to bless you. It's my joy to have a place for you." So there I was, and I thought, when I read that, I started weeping, and that's when I realized all the more, I mean, I know this is true, but it came so deep. Blazing fire is so much, so much about the presence of God, and that's something he is going to bless. He's just going to bless that, and we have to have this place. I know that God has told us. Everything shifted. There were different points in which I was asking God, well, is this my desire or your desire? That's a good question, by the way. Is this something I want, or is this something you want for me? If it's just me and I want it, I can actually do without it if it's really not what you want. I don't want to be wasting my time doing things that you don't want. And along the way, he made it really clear, no, this is what I want. That changes your prayer life quite a bit once you begin to hear the Lord saying, no, this is what I have for you, so I want you to agree with it. But as I was reading this and about the presence, I thought that this is what we're about. We are going to have a place, blazing fire, when we have our own place. I can't even imagine where we're going to go. But I want to tell you, it's when it talks about going from glory to glory, it's not going to be a little step. It's going to be a big step. With the elders, we've sat around and dreamed about this. Just a week or two ago, we did some more of that. And just talking about, for example, when you have a church that's all about worship, guess what? You're going to attract a lot of worshipers. You're going to attract a lot of worship leaders. You're going to attract a lot of instrumentalists and people who love worship. Well, guess what? When we have our own building, one of the things that's going to happen is we're going to be raising up all kinds of worship leaders, all kinds of worship teams, because we'll have the ability to do that, location to do it, but also because we're going to be having all kinds of things going on where we need worship going on. Because let me tell you, there's not going to be too many blazing fire activities where there isn't worship going on. If you know what I mean. I got to tell you, I love who we are. I love who we are. And I mean, for me, one of my prayers when I was little, when I first started the church before this one, I started a Vineyard church 4 years before I started this church. And one of my prayers, because my boys were really little, is I said, God, I want my boys to grow up so in love with you. I want them to know freedom and worship. I want them, I had all kinds of prayers like that for them. And you know what? That's what they experienced. They got to grow up in that. Well, guess what? I want that for all my kids. I want that. I want a place where there's so much freedom in worship, where you come and you encounter God. I love that I sat there and worshiped till my throat hurt because I was, you know, so loud at times. I love that. Now, I'm totally cool if you didn't do that tonight. No problem at all. But I'm so glad that I'm in a place where I can do that. And it's okay that we get to express deep love and crazy adoration for our God. I love that. That's only going to increase a lot. Can you, I don't see, there is something about owning your own place that's different than being in someone else's house. So, you know, you're staying at your cousin's house or your parents' house or something, and you're on the couch in the living room. You got some freedom, but it's not your house. You all know there have been times right here where you got to go. It's not because we want to honor this house. I'm not putting them down at all. This is their house. But do you see what I'm saying? When you have your own house, you get to set up house the way you want to. And there is something about owning a place, owning land, where you are establishing a connection point from heaven to earth that is very, very real. And that's why there have been certain hot spots. It's not because God says, oh, I really like that geographical region more than this geographical region. That really isn't the way it works. He says, wow, there's a whole lot of people hanging out here who really want me. I'm going to do something really special here because I can't help it. I just have to. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. You know, what's it all going to look like? I don't know for sure. But let me tell you, we are like so ready to go. We're like ready, way ready to go. You know what? I want to bring up Suzanne. She wanted to share just for a minute about us as a family and give her thoughts.
Love you guys. No, I shared back in February after I got back from the Piercing the Darkness conference, and I shared a little bit about the breakthrough that I just recently got. So that was February. That was 4 months ago. But it was a breakthrough that I needed for me, because I was still in that place of, you know, if I mentioned that I go to Blazing Fire, you kind of sometimes get questioning looks from people. And, you know, and so I was kind of, I didn't want to go there with them. You know, basically, if I, you know, I said, I go to Blazing Fire, and their response was, oh, that church. You know, and I'm just like, oh, okay. But I realized back in February, and I needed this. God really needed to call me on this one, that I needed to be unapologetic about who we are. And it starts with me. I mean, it doesn't start with me, but it started with me in my heart. Because Blazing Fire has a place in the body. We do. What our vision starts off with, we are passionate lovers of God. We are 10 years old right now, and we're going to get older. But this means a lot of us have started to receive the healing that the Lord wants for us. And the passion, because we want His presence, and because it is always around us, because we are receiving the love and the healing that He wants so badly for us, we need to express it. And we've got to have a place to express that. Tonight with the drumming intercessors, we stood as in a prophetic circle. Everybody stood shoulder to shoulder and in a circle, in a sense saying, we've got your back. And we've got passionate people who are willing to do that, where we're going to know who's standing next to us, and we're going to know that what the Lord has put on their hearts, what they, you know, what the destiny, what the treasure that's being called out of them, and the destiny that they, what they're going to forward in the kingdom, what they're going to advance for the kingdom. And so through that, because our passion is starting to rise, it's coming up inside us, you guys, that we have to do something with it. And then when we do something with it, we get to share that same passion with others, and it'll rise up in them. And I'm not saying that, you know, Blazing Fire is going to be the only church. It's a part of the body.
Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, Brett and I have met so many believers, bodies of believers throughout the Bay Area and even up in Sacramento, that they're hungry. They're hungry for the presence of the Lord. And this body is hungry for the presence of the Lord. And we want to share it with our family. That was one thing that Chris Vallotton brought up, is that we're a family, and you want to bring your friends home somewhere to experience that same love, that same friendship, that same security, that same encouragement. You want to bring them home so that they can experience the same. So I just wanted to encourage you that I'm unapologetic. We are, and we do look very different to a lot of other believers, but that's okay. It is so okay because God is pouring himself into us, and we have to express it. We do. You know, we are crazy about God, and it's going to come out in worship, in art, in intercession. We're going to take the seven mountains. People are going to get these crazy ideas that are going to be breakthroughs for the world.
That's right.
And so we've got to express that passion that is being poured into us, that we are allowing the Lord to pour into us, that we are gratefully receiving. So we got to do that. You know, we do pay rent. But we pay rent for one day a week in all these different places, except for Kingdom Training. We pay for a week. But can you imagine what we would do with a place that we have 24/7? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What am I saying? I'm admin. So all of a sudden, I just kicked into admin right there, and I'm like, oh, okay. This has got to fall into place. But, no, I'm excited. I am so excited for what God is going to do through us. You know, and if we have to be the icebreakers, we have to be those ones that break through, so be it. But we are passionate, and we have it in us to do that. So we're going to take every brilliant thought, every as one, we're going to stand as one. I'm going to use everybody's cliche line, okay? So if you know who I'm talking about, I'm using them all. But we're going to do it. We can do it. It will be amazing what we together, as we stand in that circle, we have each other's backs, what we can do and what God is going to allow us to do for his kingdom.
Amen. Yeah. So, wow, yeah, okay. Our role, I believe one of the big roles of Blazing Fire is to make God's presence accessible. God's here, right? And let me tell you, whether they know it or not, everybody wants him. I know they can't, some of them can't articulate that, and they're mad about a lot of things in life, and you know, mad at God or whatever, but I'm telling you, everybody wants him. But they don't all know how to have access to him. They need someone to take them by the hand and say, here, let me help you experience God. I'm going to show you from, is this on, Jim? Can you just forward it? If I want to read from Romans 5, 1-5 in the mirror, because I feel like are you almost there, Jim, or not? Should I go on? Oh. Okay, you know what? Let me just read it to you. I don't need it up there to read it to you. So Romans 5, 1-5 in the message says this, that to me this explains a lot of who we are. Righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith, which I wrote in my little side margin, I'm right with God. Righteousness by faith released means unlimited friendship with God. So righteousness by faith is I'm right with God and I know it. And when you know it, you have unlimited friendship because nothing's holding you back anymore. This is the ultimate conclusion of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the legal authority of our testimony. He has welcomed us, this is verse 2, this is in the mirror translation, he has welcomed us with open arms, and he has reinforced the fact that our access into this grace gift is guaranteed by faith. We stand fully established in grace while we boldly rejoice in all that God's opinion communicates and anticipates for us. This is so good. I wish I could, like, each sentence be still and know that he's God, because there's so much in here. Our joyful boasting, what Suzanne was just talking about, in him remains uninterrupted in times of trouble. We know that pressure reveals patience. Patience proves legal tender, which buys more positive expectation. And this kind of hope does not disappoint. The love of God has become an artesian well within us because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those verses, Ephesians 1 is another one where that just so explain who we are. But we're giving people that kind of access at Blazing Fire. Next slide. Pretty neat pick, huh? It says up there that Blazing Fire needs our own place. I've already explained it a bunch, so I'm not going to go into it a lot. Suzanne explained it some, but I will say it is about establishing a place where people can come, no question, where people can come and experience and have access to God, but it's also about raising up world changers to go out. We are very much of an apostolic church. Apostolic means this. It means that we're really not, our primary goal isn't about about being completely inward focused and how big can we get, how many numbers can we pull in here. That's not really our focus. Our focus is how many people can we turn on to God and how can we get them doing what they're supposed to be doing for the sake of the kingdom wherever they're supposed to be. That's an apostolic call, and that's what we're all about. It really is. Now, there's a lot of people that want to hang out with us. Awesome, because we need it. We need the help. But even those people come and go, and we've seen that over the years. Suzanne mentioned the seven mountains. Oh, hey, cool. There we go. Woo! See, we're approaching the light. Thanks, Jim. Suzanne mentioned a minute ago about the seven mountains. Lance Wallnau talks a lot about that. I'm going to show a clip of him in 1 second here. He talks a lot about the seven mountains. But what that is it's the different, different societies, and spheres of influence. Thank you. That's the word. Different spheres of influence in our society, like politics, entertainment, religion is one of them. But a lot of churches focus on the one thing. But what we're saying is that no, we're supposed to influence all of the spheres, family, sports. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of them. There's others. In fact, next week, I believe everything here is subject to change. You know that, right? So I wrote in the email that I sent out that next week I'm going to be showing some clips of Lance Wallnau from this last conference in Vacaville. It was phenomenal, and he had about 3 or 4 hours of teaching. So I'm going to just pick a few clips and condense it down and put a little glue of me in between some clips. But mostly it's going to be Lance. If God doesn't have something else in mind, because I was thinking that maybe Russ will be here and give us direct revelation from heaven, from the throne, of what he got. I'd be cool with that. Are you guys all right with that? I'm bringing this up because I understand that there's a lot of stuff going on in the earth, a lot of crazy things going on, and some thought might be, well, we really shouldn't do anything. Because it's all uncertain, like the financial realm is uncertain. Well, it's true that everything that's not rooted in the kingdom is liable to be shaken. That's Hebrews. But I believe more than ever, if in the age that we're living in the days we're living in, it is more imperative than ever that we are established for what Blazing Fire is here to do, to prepare people to be ready for anything that comes, because God's people are going to prosper in times of shaking. When I say prosper, please hear my heart. I'm not saying financially, though I believe that can happen. God can give us brilliant strategies. I'm saying prosper in the sense of, remember, God has always said, I want to bless a people so that the world says, wow, who is that God that blesses them like that in the midst of everything else that's going on? Because Holy Spirit's brilliant, and he has answers. And we want to, one of our dreams, and this is a little ways out, but I don't know, maybe not too far out, one of our dreams is that we want to be an incubator for people that have business ideas, inventions. They got things that the Lord's given them, but they just don't know how to get started. We actually want to have buildings, offices for just that kind of thing. But with this, the core values that we have here at Blazing Fire, because they'll work anywhere. They really will. You change the language some, but the core values work anywhere. I want to just stop and just listen to Lance Walnut. This is a 2-minute clip, but next week you're going to hear more. This is just a teaser, if you will.
Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What's he consuming? Everything that's combustible that's not made like him. Why is this so important? Because your filter, your lens, the way that you see yourself, the world, current events, has got to become a lens that empowers you every day, regardless of how traumatic world events are. Now think about this for a second. If you knew that the shaking that is happening is actually giving you access to heaven at a level you've never had before, so that you can exhibit something you've wanted but never manifested, then you would have a whole different interpretation about what's going on. How many women here have had babies? How many of you know that around the 9th month, when it was time for the baby, if you had contractions and they came closer and closer and closer together, you did not panic. You simply made sure you were in the delivery room for the delivery. The end of the age is the contraction and spasm of the world system as the birth of a new kingdom comes. The reason why it's important for us to know this, as this verse was rolling around, George, and tonight, as our rooms are like right next door to each other at the hotel, so it's always convenient because we hang out together, we're friends, and I just don't do conferences, I like to go to places where I can be with my buddies and enjoy people. But while I was there in the hotel, this verse came to me, do not fear their fear. And I had to hunt it down. I had a little, like, you know, computer thing in it. For some reason, the Bible, it couldn't find, you know, these verses. I said, I know it's in there somewhere. Do not fear their fear. It's basically Isaiah 8. Do not call a conspiracy everything everybody calls a conspiracy. I got so many buddies of mine now in prophetic camp, etc., who are all talking about global conspiracy. They're all into that stuff. Basically, what they don't understand is that you're not supposed to fear what the world fears, nor are you supposed to be preoccupied with conspiracies, because God is the ultimate conspirator. He's got a blueprint that sets up the whole battle plan so that you don't have to be super wise to figure out. You just have to know what he's calling you into and step into it.
There you go. You don't have to. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know what he's calling you to do right now. And you know what? It's going to be different for different people. Next week, if we do end up showing some more of the clips, he does a brilliant job at not sidestepping that, yes, we're coming close to the end of the age. Yes, there are crazy things that are going on, but he gives amazing context to it and to how who we as a church are supposed to be in the midst of that. I just thought it was so brilliant and very much fits with who we are as an apostolic church, of wanting to raise people up knowing their God, knowing how to hear the voice of God for themselves, that are going to go out and make a huge difference at this time in history. You guys were born all the way in the back, back there. All the way back there. All of you guys, you were born for such a time as this. You could have been born in any time in history. And God chose for you to be alive right here, right now, for his purposes. It is not a mistake. So let that fear thing go. Oh no, you know, what am I going to do? God's going to tell you what to do. He puts you here for a reason. It may not look like what you think, but he has you here for his reason. So hang in there and keep asking him what he wants you to do. Now back to us just for a minute. Words, us meaning blazing fire, words that we've gotten. Many years ago, after I was here for a few years, the Lord said, my spirit is going to sweep through this valley with or without you. Do you want to be part of it? I gave him the right answer. I said, yes, Lord. And I still say, yes, Lord. About a year and a half ago, something like that, at our elder retreat, we had this amazing time of worship, lost kind of in the Lord, and God just showed me, I have a place for you. When you move there, it's going to explode in growth. Now, how many of you know that when God says something, it doesn't always mean what you think? So when it says exploding in growth, that doesn't necessarily mean numerically at all. It could be exploding in growth as one of the things we're going to do when we have our own place and when we have the cameras and the stuff we need is live streaming. We need to, because this needs to shoot out to the world. It has to, sooner than later. The Lord spoke to Susan this really cool word. He says, I want a place where I can be myself. We've hung on to that word because that's just God right there. Chris Vallotton told us many years ago that Blazing Fire, Blazing Fire in ways is a lot like Rick Joyner's church in North Carolina. He wasn't saying theologically. What he was saying is, if you look at Rick Joyner's church, he's got an awesome church, amazing group of people, good things going there, but he said, but their influence is much more pronounced nationally and even internationally than it is locally. He said, when you think of Rick Joyner's church, you don't really think about their local church. You just think about how he's impacting. He said, Blazing Fire is going to be like that. Bill Johnson declared property over us. My spiritual dad, prayed over these hands and declared that we would own property. Dick Brunell, some of you were there, declared over me $15 million into our hands for our property. Let me tell you, we can use that and more. Not because of this necessarily the first property, but because our vision is huge for the things down the road. Bob Johnson, who is Bill Johnson's brother, a lot of you know him, does ministry in San Francisco. He prophesied over me at your house, Brian, one day. And he said, he was praying for me, and then he stops and he says, you don't have $1 million dreams, you have $1 billion dreams. He said, I see entire blocks of Blazing Fire's kingdom influence. And at the time, we were already talking about things that we would do if we had the means to do it. And it isn't your typical church things. I can't tell you all of it right now, but we'll get to it. We'll unpack it as time goes on. But we have so many dreams. So along the way, we've looked at least, I'm just going to throw a number out there, but at least 30 buildings, let's say, over the last several years. In fact, about a year, year and a half ago, maybe about a year and a half ago, year ago, something like that, we brought a team together called our facilities dream team, because they're dreaming with us for our facilities. I just wanted to ask them to stand up where they are if they're here. There's Joe right there, and Rob in the back, and Carl up here. Yeah, awesome, guys. And Suzanne, and myself, and Russ Folkler, whose spirit is standing right now, and Blaine, who's some excuse, he's in Italy. I guess somebody has to be there, right? Well, it's Blaine right now. So these guys have been helping me, walking alongside of us. We've been looking at places, always asking, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? But taking the steps. This is the group that kind of led us through the Vintage Hills thing that did that, where the doors were shut. Recently, we've looked outside. I just want to tell you, we've looked, believe me, when I say we're outside of the box, we've actually looked at places really outside of the box. One of the places we were considering, I wrote to some of you, to you vision builders, is that we looked at the an actual vineyard, not a vineyard church, but an actual vineyard in Sunol. Pretty cool. I'd love to tell you about it, but that's a 10-minute story that I don't have time for. But we looked at that. We've looked at the Well church in Dublin that's leaving, as far as possibly picking up their lease. We've looked at all kinds of different places. Recently, we found one place that is very intriguing to us. And so I'm going to show you. I'll go ahead and show you what it is. It's in Pleasanton on Ream Drive. I'm giving you the address because if you want to go by and pray over it, you're more than welcome to. That location is just over 15,000 square feet, which is a few thousand square feet less than the Vintage Hill site that we were looking at. I'm telling you this place because there seems to be some things lining up that is telling us to go ahead and take some steps forward, as I told you. Always asking, Lord, is this you? We give you permission to stop us if this isn't you. So I'm not saying this is the place. I am telling you that right now it seems to be really highlighted to us by the Lord. The square footage, you know, I think eventually we would need a lot more room than that. But what we decided as a group, and we talked about this as an elders, we believe that God is saying, this is the time. I'm going to put you into something, and you're going to be using it all the time anyway, different groups. And as you need it, I'll give you more. But it's so important that we get going, that we put our foot in the water here. So again, I'm not. Please hear my heart. I'm not telling you we're going to push through no matter what if it doesn't seem like it's God. I think those of you who know me by now know that we just wouldn't do that. It's just no way to live. Remember I mentioned earlier about the price thing. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, because I don't mind telling you some things. By the way, if you look into the right side of those doors there, you can actually see over 3/4 of the building, because it's most of it's like a warehouse kind of thing. The other's offices. And so if you want to go in and look, you actually just by looking like that can see much of the building. Just when we were looking at this a couple weeks ago, they were asking $2.2 million to buy it, which may seem like a lot of money to you. That's actually substantially less than it would have been a few years ago, because of the market. And just a few days ago, we haven't taken the steps to make an offer or do anything yet. But just a couple days ago, they just dropped the price to $1 million. That's like somebody just dropped $1.2 million in this box right here, just like that. Now let me just tell you about one more thing about purchasing versus leasing these days. With prices this crazy going down, it doesn't make any sense to lease anymore. It really doesn't. I could sit here and do the math for you, but suffice it to say that even if we were to put the down payment down, and that's up 20% to 30%, and that's all we could put down, our monthly would actually be about a third of the price of leasing that same property, just by putting the down payment down. But in addition to down payment, you also need to build it out. Because if you buy the property, they're not going to build it out for you because it's yours now, right? So there's a lot of costs involved in that. And so in a nutshell, this is what we're agreeing with God for. Again, taking steps, saying, God, if this is you, you're gonna keep blowing on this thing, and you're gonna cause it to happen. Because Karina just got the word a little while ago, I got a place for you, it's bought and paid for, right? Or something like that. Now, again, when God gives you a word, there could be a lot of different ways of interpreting that. Could very well be that we turn a corner and somebody says, wow, you guys are amazing. I was actually secretly worshiping in there and you didn't know me, but I own 5 buildings and I want to give you one of them. And if that's you, please see me after the service. That could happen. Another thing that could happen, at IHOP, at KC, they've had some amazing stories of people giving them huge sums of money, one person giving, writing checks for millions of dollars, exactly what they needed for a building. But I will tell you this, that because I heard those stories from Mike Bickle, and in each case, I'll tell you what happened before they got that money. They took some steps out there. They really did. They were moving ahead towards a building and saying, okay, Lord, you're going to have to come through. So that can happen. I'll tell you what else could happen. A whole lot of people, not only people who are here, but people who we have influenced through the years. Blazing Fire has probably touched the lives of thousands, if not tens of thousands of people in the 10 years we've been alive. I don't think that's an exaggeration because it's one of those watering holes. People have come through here all the time. People have been blessed massively. Some of those people, we are going to get the word out. We're going to herald this thing more clearly than we've done in the past. This right here has been amazing. By just saying to you guys, we really want our own place. Would you agree with us and would you give as you're able? That's basically all we've said for a year and a half or so since this has been out. You amazing people, you and any of you who are hearing this or whatever, $130,000 to $140,000 has come in a year and a half with this little box. That's pretty awesome. It's not nearly what we need, but that's awesome. That's totally a seed. And God, he loves that. He loves when people see vision, they say, I want to be part of that. I'm just telling you, we need you. This is not about Brent and Suzanne's great adventure, you know, excellent adventure. Anyway. And this is truly about a family, a tribe called Blazing Fire. And together we're going to get somewhere. Together God's going to take us somewhere. And in fact, if you have never signed this famous yellow Blazing Fire Vision Builder sheet, I'm going to have a stack of them up here later. What this is saying is, yep, I want to be part of this. When Suzanne talked about being unapologetic, I think one of the things most people in this room would probably agree with me, nobody here likes being controlled and manipulated. Anyone? No. We've all been there. And because of that, we have done everything to stay as far away from that as possible in this church. But sometimes, I believe, a little bit to our detriment. Because we've at times been almost tiptoeing or apologetic about, jump on board. If you want to join us, join us. Because people really do want to belong. They want to be part of a family. And I will tell you this, I truly believe this, that having that building is going to make a difference. There is going to be, when mom and dad sink their roots down, the kids feel a little bit safer. And they go, oh, okay, we're here to stay. It's going to happen. But I just want to say, if this does not, you know, you're not giving us your firstborn child or anything like that, all this is saying is, at this point in my life, this is his family. This is the family I want to be part of. And we just need to know that so that we know that you're there, so that we know that you're part of us. I do send a email. I've been doing it about once a month out just to the vision builders, giving them a little bit more insight into things than I do in my general emails. Back to this. I think we're about done. Oh, I was going to say this. So tonight, I'm going to stop here because this isn't really like tonight. I don't have all the graphs and charts for it. I don't have this cool like thermometer thing, you know. But I will tell you this. In a nutshell, we would need about $1 million in order to put the down payment down that we would need and for this building to be up and going with everything that we would need for it to be going. We would need about $2 million. To have the building outright, to have no payments from that point on, and everything that we would need to go. Now, I know, I honestly know that's nothing for God. I really do. But a big part of it, unity is huge. And a big part of it is that we're coming into agreement of saying, yes, Lord. And again, I'm not really focusing on that place, that picture, so much as I am everything else I told you before this point about why this is the time. And one last thing I'm going to say is, and this is just an honest thing and a practical thing, but I need to say it, and that is that these offerings, which is, there's one here and there's usually one over there, but it broke last week and we didn't get a new one yet. So there's one tonight. It's over there. That's our general offering. And I want to thank you so much, those of you who have been contributing faithfully, because we can't do it without that. There's a reason why the original tribes, where one of the tribes that was appointed to minister to the Lord, they weren't given land. They were given a tenth from everybody else to keep doing what they were doing. There's historical precedence for it. We can't do this without you. And so I'm saying that because if you were saying, you know what, everything I've been putting in this box, I'm now going to divert to this box, that would be a problem for us. Because then we wouldn't have money to operate, and we need that. And I just wanted to say this, just Suzanne mentioned a minute ago about how sometimes it has to start with us, and I just want to let you know, we Suzanne and I not only give regularly to this, to Blazing Fire, we have a few missionaries, of course, that we add on to that, and we give regularly to the building fund, just because we felt like it was super important for us to do that. But when we started doing the building fund, it was above and beyond what we were already giving to the church. I could talk more at another time about the whole giving thing. That's a long talk in itself. You're not bound by the law. God's not going to like you more or less, depending on what you give. I will tell you just in one sentence, though, that the new covenant is about receiving and giving, receiving and giving. And when you have that heart that isn't afraid and that just says, okay, Lord, I'm going to be a giver because I'm made in your image and that's what you are, he says, good, I'm going to bless your socks off because you know what to do with what I bless you with. That's more of the new covenant in a nutshell. I wish I had time right now to say, okay, questions, lights up, what do you guys want to talk about? But in this forum, that wouldn't really work. I really felt like it was important to give you this much. In the next couple weeks, we're actually going to be doing a lot. We're going to be taking a lot of steps towards this, giving God permission to stop us or to show us something else that we haven't seen yet. So I might come back to you and say, God showed us something better. And that's totally cool. But I also want to let you know that we are definitely moving ahead. It feels, I could give you 100 reasons why it feels right, but it's right. And so we're going to do that. And I think the last thing I was going to say is in a minute, we're going to come up and take communion. We're going to end tonight. I think it's super appropriate as a family. Communion really solidifies our oneness in Christ. In fact, let me go to that. Oh, there it is. There's communion. And that picture right there, I don't know if you can see it, but that's Jesus on the cross. And then we're the bride on the cross with him, because we were crucified with Christ. And that's just super good news. That may seem weird to you at first. Your brain might you might scratch your head like, what? Because it's in Scripture, but what does that mean? Well, it means that your old life, it already died. When you became one with Christ, you actually died with him, which is super great news, because everything about you is new. Everything about you is redeemed and singularly focused with the Lord. So in just a minute, we're going to take communion together as a family. I want to ask this, and this is, again, not by compulsion, but I just want to ask tonight, if there was this a yes in your heart about what I'm saying, would you, I know some of you will need to go home and talk to your spouse or whatever about giving, and we're going to be sending more things out in the coming weeks. But tonight, if you would want to sow into that, even if you're pulling $5 out of your pocket just to say yes as a seed, as a way of saying yes to what God's doing, that would just be awesome. So I want to ask if those that were doing communion would go ahead and come up right now and go ahead and get this ready. And also, in just a moment, I also asked about a half dozen or so people to pray for healing. So if you need healing tonight, in fact, while we're praying, I'm going to pray specifically all together. So we're going to pray for Russ and for the others, for Angela and Karen and others. But if you need healing in your body tonight, either before or after you take communion, I want to encourage you to go to our prayer teams and get healing tonight, okay? Perfect. Okay. All right. You know what? Let's just, why don't you go ahead and stand, and we're going to pray together. So Father, we're so grateful that we get to be wild, extravagant lovers of you, just like you are a wild, extravagant lover of us. We thank you, Lord, that you spared nothing to make sure that we would be able to live in a right relationship with you, not just someday when we're in heaven, but now here on the earth. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross, scorning its shame. You endured it for the joy set before you. And Jesus, we were that joy that was set before you. Being with your Father in heaven and having us with you all together, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all of us, one big family, you are willing to do, to pay the perfect price. So thank you, Lord, because that means we are set free. We were crucified with you. We were crucified with you. Our old self is gone, gone, gone. We have a brand new self, born from above, a new spirit that is so in touch with you. And thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed. And so we declare, Jesus, that what you paid for was enough for us. And we say, Russ, to your spirit, it's time to get up. It's time for your body now to be completely healed, all infection gone, all liquid out of the lungs, perfect health in Jesus' name. Angela, we're saying the same for you. It's time, Angela, to be healed. We speak peace to the lymph nodes. We command any infection, anything that's not of the Lord, we command it out of your body in Jesus' name. Karen, we speak to your heart, and we say it's time right now for every bit of your heart to be reformed. Anything that, any cells that got damaged, we just speak new life in full recovery in Jesus' name. And for Gene and any others that have been sick with any kind of bronchitis, pneumonia, we're just declaring cleansing, healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord. We're on a great journey. We choose to rest and be still in your presence and to believe that you are good all the time because you are. Amen. And so what we're going to do is, those of you who I asked to do healing prayer, please come forward first right now and take communion so that you can go to your stations. You know what? Let's have some of you right here and some of you over here and some of you away on the far side over there, okay? As you come up and take communion, which one is the wine? Which one is the wine? Oh, where is it? Oh, okay. So when you come up, these three are grape juice, and the one that Suzanne and I will have here is wine, to take a piece of bread and dip it in and then eat it that way. So you're free to come on up. And here's the blazing fire own place if you'd like to sow into that.